Welcome back to the podcast. It's been over a year. I can't believe it. A lot has happened in the last year, and I wasn't actually sure if we would do this podcast or continue it at one point. But we're back, and I'm here with my son, Broderick. Hello, Broderick.
Hi.
We are in Cluj, Romania, and this is where we were actually when we started the podcast over 2 years ago. When the war started, our family relocated here. We use this podcast to tell stories, to interview friends, and to share different thoughts and conversations from a variety of faith perspectives. As we move forward, we are going to do that as well. We'll continue to have conversations with interesting people. I love interviewing people and just creating a space that feels like your living room. So many conversations we have, I've wished over the years that we've had a recording device, because the stories, the testimonies, the valleys, the mountains, these are the things of life and are special to share with others, especially in today's fast-paced, you know, quick quote environment where conversations are really more like theater. So without further ado, I want to just talk with my son, Broderick. He is my eldest of eight, and he's relocated here in Cluj with us after a wild last year. And Broderick, why don't you just tell me and tell our audience a little bit about yourself and why you find yourself here in Romania as well?
Yeah, it's I remember first tuning into this podcast as a listener and hearing your parenting series going through the youngest stages to the teenager stage.
Yeah, so we first started serving refugees and friends, and we had a guest house with a lot of people coming in and out, and Broderick came over during that period, and we had a health scare in our family that required all of us to go back to America, and we were there. One of our sons had a health scare, and we were there for several months. And then finally, thank you, God, he's doing really well, and we were able to come back to Cluj. So it's been kind of stop and starts a lot. But during that process, we really felt the Lord moving our hearts from Ukrainian response recovery. Not that the war is over, not that there's still not so much to be done, but we saw potential here in this city of Cluj, Romania, that's the second largest city in Romania and has, what would the population be, Broderick?
During the prime school year, it could be close to 400,000.
So it's not what we're used to as a family, spending the last 17, 16 years in a small village, population of about 7,000. We're now in a very big city, but has a feel of still very similar to Ukraine, where that it's not as fast-paced, very strong culture of family, and also with a very difficult history with the Communist Party, the Russian 70 years of communism. And so, and as well as you go outside of the city, it's very rural, very beautiful landscape, mountains, the Carpathian Mountains, Transylvania region. So this city, Bucharest is the capital in Romania, but Cluj-Napoca, it's called, has an amazing amount of youth. It's a very young city, and we noticed that there were also a lot of internationals. Part of recognizing that is because we spent a lot of time at immigration and being sort of refugees ourselves. We were displaced, and you run with those that are also displaced. You get to know people, you open up your home, and it's probably not the Romanians that are going to come hang out. It's those looking for community, looking for welcome. And our family began to sense the opportunity to start something, a community of faith, of some sort of exploration space for young people or old people. And that led us to this opportunity that we are right now sitting in a property that we've leased for the next 5 years, and we are going to expand upon the ministry that we began in Ukraine called Lighthouse. And Broderick, what do you see as we're sitting here in a place that still needs to be renovated? There's still so much work to be done, but tell us a little bit about this space, its location, and what stands out to you? What gets your heart pumping?
Yeah, well, after living here for about a year, I can immediately feel just the amount of international people here, especially students. Like they come for the very high-end education. It's affordable. I've met students from the Caribbean, from Egypt, from Nepal,
China,
all over Korea, everywhere around Europe. They come for affordable, high quality schooling, especially.
And to give some context, sorry to interrupt, but for our listeners, Romania is part of the EU, but it's one of the more affordable places to live. The economy allows for this attractive space for education that's on a European level. But for those coming from these poor developing nations, this is really a wonderful opportunity. So it attracts this international community that I read online, up to 7,000 international students coming here for their bachelor's, their master's, or to even go to the medical school to become doctors.
Oh yeah. No, it's just the broad range of what all of these students are coming for is immense. And just seeing that firsthand, you just really feel the amount of opportunity here to create a culture of community with these students, because they're coming here to a country that they've never been to before, a city they've never been to, a language that's foreign to them. They're searching for something. And I believe that this space, Lighthouse, can be a very prominent location for them to have this be the first stepping stone into making this feel like an actual home for them, and not just a place to reside for 4 years and until they get their degree, but can be an actual place to develop friendships, relationships, and
the space, the street that we're on. Tell us a little bit about this famous street, Piazicia Street, and it's getting dark here. Actually, we don't have the cameras on for this podcast, but this street comes alive at night. Why?
Yeah, well, I've worked with high school students for about 8 months being here, and this place, Strada Piazicia, it's very famous for its nightlife. So there's a lot of bars, a lot of clubs, and a lot of activity, you know, past 7, 8 p.m., a lot of music. So it's where students go, high school and college, come to let loose, party, drink, and there's no other street quite like it in the city. So,
and if anybody's listened to our podcast in the past, if you remember Anisim is still part of he's still a friend, and he's actually part of our leadership team now for Lighthouse. And this was his original vision. He came and found this space and rented it for a few years and poured his heart and soul and money into this space to get it, I would say, about 70% ready. And after about 2 years, a lot of changes in his heart and mind, he felt like he really needed a partner. And so we prayed about it together, and it was just a perfect fit. We've always loved his heart, what he wanted to do on this street. And so we have some of the experience in Ukraine creating what we would call a third space. You know, on if you were to look on one spectrum, one side, you've got religious, culturally recognized religious spaces, churches, et cetera. And then on the other side, you've got bars and discos and clubs. And there's nary that the twain shall meet, I think is the saying. No. And so how do we create space? So we think of this third space that's neither religious nor just a place to go party and get drunk. This is the heartbeat of our vision mm-hmm. for Lighthouse, is that it rises above those categories.
Yeah.
And it says, we welcome you. We value you, and we want to provide resources and connections and people that can come alongside you in this season and embody faith, hope, and love without some particular outcome, trying to get you into a church, trying to get you to, mm-hmm. you know, believe certain things that love itself can draw and can do some powerful things. So mm-hmm. this street, Broderick, you know, many religious people, when we tell them that we're on Piazitia, their immediate reaction is a little bit shocking. It's yeah. kind of funny because we're outsiders. We don't know.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
just know this is where we think Jesus would be
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and where light will have the most impactful result.
Yeah.
And so it's funny to tell different or to hear about this street because it's the place where Christian parents hope their kids don't come.
Yeah. It's the last place that they would hope any of their children would go to.
So, Broderick, on a practical level, what do you think this space will be used for?
Yeah, it's a big question, and there's so much opportunity for almost unlimited potential with what this prime location could be used for. And the amount of people I talk to about this property, it just gets people excited. No matter the context that I'm talking about it in, it's just like, you know.
Yeah, anyone who comes sees, oh, I could do this here.
There's been a lot of excitement on the concert space, people wanting to host both musical kind of a venue for that, but mm-hmm. just for like the most response I've gotten from is just like, where can I meet and find people like me? Where can I be part of a community that rejects this notion that like any kind of free time needs to be like getting drunk or partying, or, you know, it's a very, very much a herd mentality of going out and being part of the crowd. There's a very prominent group of people that, you know, would love to grow deeper in relationship, grow deeper in community, and be a part of something that's bigger than them. And
also, I think with different topics and themes, you know, whether it's innovative, you know, learning, maybe things that they're not learning in school, technical things that skills that are shared among others,
mm-hmm.
Mentoring from a perspective of self knowledge.
Yeah.
Like this is something we've journeyed in Ukraine and in Slavic culture, that this, the Imago Dei, the image of God inside of us, gets crushed through the domination systems
yes.
around us.
Yes.
And so a place to start to learn about yourself.
I think mentoring is a huge one. You know, there's so many students and high school students, you know, hitting the 17, 18 age mark, and they have no guidance almost when they hit these markers. You know, they're pressured into a college degree that they need to follow through on, not something that they're even given any time to think about really. They just are pushed into these, and they don't know where to go or who they are, but they know that they have to get these degrees in order to be any kind of, you know, to stand out in any kind of job market. You have to get a degree, and they're left with these bigger questions that these colleges don't answer, like who am I, what do I want to be, what do I value, what kind of impact do I want to have. Mm-hmm. These are totally open questions that they're so ready for any kind of input to be poured into in a loving sort of setting.
Mm-hmm. And by saying that the colleges don't have those things, we're not talking about specific colleges here, but we are, from our perspective as Westerners, these college systems, high school through vocational training and university college, they are a product of our past. you know, that came out of the Industrial Revolution specifically to gear you up for a career. You'd be good at something. And they aren't asking the pre, I would say, Enlightenment questions, where mystery, where, my goodness, you know, what are the, like you're saying, the bigger questions of life? Who am I? Why am I here? What's important? What has meaning to me? Mm-hmm. Those kind of questions are still in the heart of men and women, mm-hmm. especially young men and women. But the education system is primarily concerned about prepping you for your career so you can be a good citizen.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
good things. So mm-hmm. we are not anti-education. We are saying that creating space allows for deeper conversations and even possibly more important mm-hmm. questions that aren't being asked.
Right, right. And these are happening in all age demographics too. Like the,
right.
all of these people are craving
globally.
Yeah, this kind of space to process, you know, not something that's immediately going to be relevant in your career path, like they've so been used to, but real questions and stirrings of the soul that mm-hmm. they have.
And this gets to come with some of the mystical faith-based kind of origins of why we feel like as a family that we're here and we want to kind of partner with what the Holy Spirit's doing is that everywhere. This isn't just in Ukraine or Romania or in America.
Right.
There is this generation that's rising up, the 20-somethings and even 30-somethings. They are not satisfied with the answers they've been given.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so this whole concept of even deconstructing, where people are kind of leaving these authoritative hierarchies and systems and answers, and they're very untrusting of authority, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives a lot of consternation and anxiety to those that are in authority. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But for the kingdom of God, we want to just come alongside those questions and say, it's okay to be questioning these things and to have space to, you know, ruminate and meditate, think. And so they mm-hmm. look and see religion and the church as a place of certainty, a place of answers, and where those questions aren't necessarily embraced or yep. welcomed. Mm-hmm. So as Lighthouse, philosophically, missionally, we want this to be a space where conversations are had and varying diverse opinions are welcome.
Yeah, there's something beautiful about the counterculture movement. You know, we're providing a space where you can be questioning authority. You can be questioning things that you were taught maybe in church or maybe in whatever setting. And we're not just resorting to we're counterculture in both aspects. Both if you're coming from a religious background or if you're coming from a secular background, we want to provide a space in the middle that like is here to listen and here to be present in everything that you're going through.
Mm-hmm. So that's good. So thank you for joining. Yes, and you can check us out also on Instagram. We'll be having social media soon, but lighthouse.cluj. And we'll put some other information there in our notes. So thanks for listening. Have a great week.